Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 through 19. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to thy west, and to thy east, and to thy north, and to thy south. And in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Beth-El, but the name of that city was called Luz up at the first. We've seen Jacob instructed by his mother, instructed by his father, and led of God not to take a wife from the land of Canaan, but to return to the land of his mother Rebekah's family and to take a bride from her family and that heritage and that lineage. And we have what I would call Jacob's God starting with him. Jacob's God starting with him. I have found, and I believe, that God, in his own time and in his own way, prepares us for our service to Him. He chooses us. He calls us. He saves us. And then He prepares us for His service. And that prep time is different for all people. That prep time, I think, sometimes is set by God, a determined amount of time. But I also think that sometimes God makes it a longer time than He does with others, and a shorter time than He does with others. I think sometimes our own goofs and our own gaffes can delay God's preparing to use us. I've looked at people and I've asked myself, why doesn't God use them? Why doesn't God do something with them? Why doesn't God do this and why doesn't God do that? And I find the answer is He will in His time. God always works in His time. And Jacob has wasted a lot of time. What I described a couple weeks ago, he's wasted a lot of time being a couple steps ahead of God. Remember, Abraham walked right beside God. Isaac walked a couple steps behind God. And Jacob always was rushing and going a couple steps ahead of God. And we find him in this text coming to the end of himself. And that's where God brings all of us when he's getting ready to use us. We have to come to the end of ourself before the Lord can save us. We have to come to the end of ourself, though we're saved, before God can use us. We have to come to the place where we are at the end of ourself and we can do nothing but cast ourselves upon the hands of the Lord and say, use us according to thy will, O Father. According to thy will. Jacob finds himself alone. He obviously would have had some kind of servants or household people traveling with him and aiding him. He was certainly well off enough that we can expect that. But other than that, Jacob's by himself, pretty much traveling by himself as God has directed him through his father to go to the land of Haran. He's leaving for the promised land. He's leaving from the promised land. Don't miss that in the details. He's in the land of Beersheba. He's been instructed to go to the land of Haran, some 500 plus miles away from the promised land. So God is directing Jacob to leave Canaan, to leave the promised land, and to go back to the land of Haran, where his mother came from to be the wife of Isaac. He finds himself alone. He finds himself alone with his thoughts. He finds himself alone out of his element. This wouldn't have been any big deal for Esau. Esau was a hunter, an adventurer, an outdoorsman. But Jacob seems to have been a house body, a homebody. and he is leaving the land of promise. He finds himself leaving all by himself without any family to go with him and to assist him. He finds him alone with his thought, and I'm sure he thought all about what he had done to his brother. All that he had done in tricking his father. All that he had done to wheel and deal and make things happen. You know how it is. I know how it is. There have been many times in my life where God has gotten me away and pulled me away and pulled me aside, and I have found myself alone with my thoughts, thinking about this, and why did I do that, and why did I say that, and what about this? And he finds himself leaving the promised land all by himself without maybe some servants, alone with his thoughts and out of his element. Jacob had come to the end of himself. And in our text, night comes. Night has come. He's made a place to lay on the ground. He's made himself a pallet or a bed of some type on the ground. And he's gathered up a couple stones, couple big rocks to put his head upon. Nothing about this sounds comfortable, especially for somebody like Jacob, so far out of his own element. Night has come. He's laying on the ground, using these stones for a pillar. And I believe this is where God starts working with Jacob. Jacob doesn't talk much about God. Was Jacob saved? In verse 2 and 3 and 4, we saw last week, Isaac said to him, "Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham." See, it sounds as though he's already in the covenant relationship. Isaac pronounces a blessing upon him, in addition to the blessing that Jacob had tricked him to give him. He says, "Arise and go to the land of thy mother's brother and family, and God Almighty bless thee, multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. May God give you the blessing of Abraham." In verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou layest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, and to thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth." And God is saying to Jacob in verse 15, in addition to these others, "I am with thee. I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and I will bring thee again," as he's leaving the promised land and going to Haran. He stops in this place overnight, and God promises to always be with him, and God promises to take him back into the promised land and to instill the blessings of Abraham and Isaac upon him also. So I would venture to say he was probably in a relationship with God. But here is where he comes to the end of himself, and God starts to work with Jacob. The next 20 years are going to be hard on Jacob. But the next 20 years are needful for Jacob. So let's consider Jacob saved. I want to ask you tonight, those of you who are saved, I want to ask especially you young people, as I look at this church roll, and I move this through this church roll, and I take note of all of those that are under 20 years of age or so. I want to ask you, young people, a question. When will you get serious with God? You say you're saved. Nobody can doubt that. Nobody can question that. But when are you going to get serious? See, this story tonight is about a time when Jacob is going to get serious with God. And God is going to get serious with Jacob. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You reckon these words are only for old people? You reckon if you're a young person, it doesn't apply to you? You reckon if you're in a difficult situation and you don't have a lot of assets or a lot of funds or a lot of prosperity, you reckon you can disqualify yourself? Just who is God telling to lay up for themselves treasures in heaven? He's saying it to all of his people, irregardless of their age. He's saying it to you, my young fellow, my young friend. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. The last thing you're thinking about is retirement. The last thing you're thinking about is getting old. The last thing you're thinking about is laying up treasures in heaven. But it ought to be the first thing you're thinking about. It ought to fill your minds as you study and read the story of Jacob. Parents have coddled you. Churches have served you. Society entertains you, plies you, as I said this morning, with fun and pizza and stuff. But when will you get serious about serving God? When will you stop seeking these temporal satisfactions and get serious about serving God? That's what old people do. That's what all God's people do. Isaac and Rebekah had both ruined their two sons, had overindulged their two sons. Rebekah towards Jacob, Isaac towards Esau. When will you, my friend, You who are young in the flesh and know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when will you get serious about serving God? Not just drawing off of my mind, we have some, if I'm remembering correctly, who are less than 10 years of age. We have a few others that go up from there. How serious do you take your calling? How serious do you take your salvation? How serious do you take your nudging by the Lord to serve Him? To take up your cross and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? When will you, my Christian friend, particularly my young friend, get serious about serving God? Your whole life is laid out before you. You've got your plans, and mom and dad has their plans, and society has their plans and pressures, and your friendships and acquaintances puts directions and pressures upon you. When will you get serious about serving God? Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Oh, it's okay to go to church on Sunday as long as it's convenient. It's okay to even go on Wednesdays if we don't have anything scheduled on Wednesdays. When will we get beyond serving God because it's convenient? And as young people, start serving the Lord because of your convictions. I want to say this to the young people here, and there's many who are not saved. Who have not been born again, who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as we spoke about Him this morning. Do not know Him, have no relationship with Him, are not looking for Him to come and to direct and use you in any way. When are you going to get real with God? When are you going to get real with God? There are many young people here who are lost, don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're at a critical juncture. They're in high school, going through the high school years or close to it, or they're preparing for college. These are critical times. When will you realize your most critical need is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Amen. When will you get busy about knowing Him as your Lord and Savior? Right. Everything is laid out for you. All the plans and decisions are made. Yeah, but you're lost. What if you die with all these plans laid out before you? What if you die at this most critical time before you are able to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? What good will all those plans do for you then? They won't do you any good at all. They won't do you any good at all. Those of you who are young, yet lost, at this most critical juncture in your life, when will you get real with God? What do you got to do to get real with God? You got to get real with God. God is holy. So to get real with God, you're going to have to see yourself as sinful. He's holy, you're sinful. Getting real with God means confessing. Getting real with God means asking God to forgive you. Getting real with God means crying out, God, forgive me of my sins. Save me. Getting real with God is His giving you faith to believe. His Son died for you. His Son died for you. So God looks as though he's initiating, looks as though he's getting things started with Jacob. And Jacob finds himself all alone by himself. And it's time for Jacob to get serious. He's going to make a deal to marry the woman that he loves. And Laban's going to pull a fast one. And as he makes this deal to marry the woman that he loves, Laban's going to slip in a substitute, a sister, veiled and covered, unable to be identified. Laban's going to bring that woman to marry Jacob. And it seems as though it's not until the next morning that he wakes up and realizes he's married the wrong woman. He falls prey to his own practices. Life catches up with him. And so he's got to go back to the drawing board. He's married and can't get away from that. So he has to make a deal with Laban to get the woman that he loved, he wanted to marry to begin with. And about 20 years is going to be tied up in his experiencing his own trickster ways. It was time for him to get serious. As I said last week, I think I pointed out, he'll never see his mother again. That's a sad time. And I don't want to play on people's sentiment. But you'd better get real with God. While you can get real with God. And if you're lost, you better get serious. Get real with God by receiving his Son and by believing Jesus Christ died for you. Because you're just liable to find mom and dad gone. Mom and dad removed from the equation. And you all alone with nothing but your sadness. Twenty years will pass of his experiencing these tricky moves by Laban. He's never to see his mother again, as far as I can tell. In verse 13 through 15 of our text, and behold, the Lord stood above the ladder, the staircase, the steps. The Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father. And in these verses, we just read them a moment ago for the most part, verse 13, 14, and 15. God renews his covenant that he had with Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. He renews this covenant now with Jacob. And it has to be pointed out that God renews this covenant with Jacob because Jacob was moving, Jacob was obeying, Jacob was in transition. And as we have said many times over the past weeks, the only way for us to live is to trust and obey. When God says get up and go, the only way to have his blessings upon your life is to get up and get moving. And it's at a point where Jacob comes face to face with his life and comes to the end of himself. And he's on the move. God has taken him away from the promised land to the land of Haran, where he will meet these women that he will marry and bring forth children with, in fulfilling what is necessary for the coming of the 12 tribes of Israel. He was moving. He was obeying. He was in transition. If you want God to bless you, you got to get moving. Get up and move. I just have to tell you the way it is. I have to tell you what the Bible tells us, how the Bible tells us to tell it. If you're here and you're lost, the only way to be saved is to get up and move. Get up and come, to get up and believe. Get up and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. See yourself as that sinner. Cry out to God for forgiveness and mercy for your sins. Believe Jesus Christ died for you. Ask God to give you the faith to believe that Jesus Christ died for you. Get up and get moving, and God will save your soul. That's a promise. That's called faith. Living faith, real faith. Get up and get moving. Obey. Do what God tells you to do. If you're here and you're a young person and you're saved, are you doing what God tells you to do? Are you being what God tells you to be? Or are you offering up the excuse of your youth? Don't let anybody despise your youth. Be thou an example, Timothy was told. Be thou an example of the believer. Are you? That's the question tonight. Get up and get moving. Obey God. Stop going in the wrong direction. Stop making things happen. Stop playing the games that are so controlling of your life. Make a transition to get away from your trickster ways to just obeying and trusting God. And in verse 12 through 14, we read about Jacob dreaming a dream. Jacob dreaming a dream. Verse 10, and Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took up the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth. The top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord Jehovah God stood above it. Maybe I could say he stood at the top. And it reached down to the earth. Jacob dreams a dream. I would advise you to be careful about dreams. Don't build a whole lot of your life upon some dream you had. How can I say such a thing? Because the Bible tells us that the Word of God is given for our instruction. The Spirit of God is given to lead us and to guide us. And we don't have to rely upon dreams, and we don't have to rely upon some kind of new revelations. We have the Word of God, and we have the Spirit of God in us, as Christ promised to teach us, to lead us, and to guide us. Be careful about dreams. They may not have any substance to them. They may not be applicable to you. Some dreams are unable to be understood. Rely on the Word of God. Rely upon the Spirit of God. People see in this dream, this ladder, these steps, something that represents their ability to climb and reach unto God. That's a big mistake. You remember a place called Babel? Remember what the people who were all of one language said when they came to Babel after the flood? Let us build us a tower. Let us build us a tower that can reach up to heaven and reach up to the very throne of God. Let us do that. And God showed his displeasure and his disfavor with that by destroying it and scattering their languages and dispersing the people once and for all. This dream that Jacob will have is not about a ladder for people to get in and to get on and to climb up to God. We can't get up and climb and go to God. We see in this ladder that which is a symbolic representation of Jesus Christ. We see in this symbolic representative of Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and man. Concerning the covenant, concerning the promise of the seed of Jacob, concerning all that we find in these verses and in these chapters in this portion of Genesis, we're talking about the Messiah. We're talking about the one who reconciles man to God. And I'm going to stop there tonight. We'll pick up with this portion of Scripture next week, looking in Romans chapter 5 and John 1. But we see here in this portion of Scripture, God restarting his relationship with Jacob. Jacob coming to the end of himself, finding himself all alone at night, sleeping on the ground with a stone or a rock for a pillow, and his being given a dream, seeing a ladder that reaches from earth to God up at the top. Where are you in regards to your life? Have you ever come to the end of yourself? Have you ever come to the place where you saw your need of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever cried out to God? My Christian friend, my particularly young person, young people, isn't it about time you got serious about God, serving him? Young people are quick to say, oh, I know I'm saved. Okay, you know you're saved. Well, how are you showing you're saved? What evidence, what proof are you giving? Jacob wasn't giving very much evidence. There came a place when him and God had to meet face to face, and God called him on the carpet, and he had to get serious about his God. And he would, and he did. Do you need to get serious with God? What about you, my friend? Whatever your age is and you're not saved, you're at a critical juncture. It doesn't matter what your age is. Anybody in this room tonight could die before tomorrow. Last Wednesday, I think it was, the Iyers were coming to church. Somewhere around 18 or somewhere, I forget what they told me they came over on. And they came up that intersection, brakes were applied. Brother Eric, driver, professional driver, went right through the intersection. A few weeks ago, there was a car coming the other way when that happened. It didn't turn out so well. This morning, the Johnsons were coming to church over here on 16. Brakes were applied, slid out into some portion of that intersection. Could have been so much different, couldn't it have? And I'm not telling fortunes or reading palms. I'm just telling you, every one of us is just seconds away from death. We could meet that appointment tonight on the way home. Will it be after you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or will you put it off and find yourself leaving this world lost and undone without God or His Son? When will you get real with God? When will you get serious about God? When will you get to living your life in His will? Let's stand together and have a verse of song.